Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Since we have such a huge crowd of men of faith watching us from grandstands, let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. And let us run with patience and particular race that God has set before us. Keep your eyes on Jesus, our leader and instructor. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterwards. And now he sits in the place of honor by the throne of God. Amen. Amen.
Jacket to preach, but you can understand why. It goes with the theme for the day. And for those of you who weren't here at the announcement time, yes, I did do a marathon on Monday, and I thank you for your prayers because I had a cold and I wasn't feeling great, and I got through it in the end. And some of you say I was crazy. I even think I was crazy. But yes, it was an accomplishment, and I just thank God for helping, because I wanted to go as fast as I could, but at my age, things just don't work as fast as the fastest guys out there that can do a marathon in just over 2 hours. And in the end, you think, 6 hours, at least I did it, all right, and thank God. And what it's done is inspired me with as I was running along, I was having a lot of different ideas. And to start off with, I was full of joy and praise. You know, this is a wonderful world. Milton Keynes is beautiful, believe it or not. It was incredible going around the villages, and we had an absolutely wonderful time. Because I'd been practicing, the body was flowing smoothly, and I was going a little bit on the far side because of the mix-up over who I was supposed to be following, the pacemakers. And so in the end, I burnt myself out a little bit too fast at the beginning. And then by the middle, I was thinking, it's another 13 miles to go. Can I still manage another 13 miles? And then the sun came out, and for everyone else, that's a blessing. And for a runner, heat is not a blessing. You want the cool. And then it seemed as though later on in the run, God heard my prayer and sent some rain, just little showers of rain to keep us a little bit cooler. So yes, thanks for the children's story today, Angel. That was such a blessing. That was a sermon in itself. And if I pack up now and go home, and you will go home with lots of inspiration from what Angel has shared today. But as I was running along, I was wondering about a lot of things and thinking of the people who had supported me for ADRA, people who were praying for me because I knew this wasn't going to be easy, and some strange ideas started coming into my mind as it was becoming increasingly difficult putting one foot in front of another. I don't know if you know what it's like when your whole body aches and you think, I can't do another step. And then you see this lovely green electric scooter just up ahead of you. And you think, oh, wouldn't it be nice to just use my app and pay for a scooter ride for just 10 minutes or so that I could have a bit of a rest and still go in the right direction, not go too fast so anyone would get... And then you realize, you can't do that, that's cheating. That's cheating. And then you carry on running a little bit longer, and there's some beautiful parts where the run was going along the Grand Union Canal. A couple of parallel rows of poplar trees. It was absolutely beautiful. And then there was a barge, a narrowboat, just chugging along about my pace. And I think, it would be so easy to call to them, can I just jump aboard and take a bit of a break? There are so many ways in which we think as Christians when we get to the end of our tether. Ah, surely we can just put our feet up for a little while. Or perhaps there's someone who will give me a ride on our Christian journey. We don't have to go through the pain barrier. that we are often experiencing. And yet, my understanding of the Christian journey is one that Paul tells us, like we had so beautifully read for us in our scripture reading. It is a journey, it is a run that will take us into places of our maximum endurance, but by the grace of God, we will be able to get through it. Whatever the pain, whatever the exhaustion, whatever the discouragement, God is there for us. It was about 25, 30 years or so ago. I was in a pastoral responsibility in Suffolk, Ipswich Church. And I don't know if any of you know anyone from Ipswich Church, but it's an absolutely lovely church. It was one of my favorites for many years. And we used to go and visit folks, and we have socials. And one day, we went out to Fred Uff, who was in the countryside, have a little bungalow. And as we'd gathered together, he was there in shorts and a t-shirt. Now, this is a guy who's in his 60s, late 60s, a big grey beard, so could be a Father Christmas type character. And I said, you know, what have you been doing? And he said, I've been running. And you think, hang on, you're in your late 60s and you're running. Yeah, I'm preparing for a marathon. What? Old people don't run. At least that's what I thought back then. And he shared with me just how much he enjoyed running. And over the last 20, 30 years or so, as you know, running has become increasingly popular. The London Marathon's always packed out, and a day doesn't go by when you see people running around this area. It's become a major hobby. But what I realized was that I was prejudiced against running in old age when I was talking to Fred Uff. And he inspired me to rethink what the aging process was like. And so, as Paul says in Hebrews 12 that we had read for us, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. You could put in, run the marathon, run an ultra marathon, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Let us pray. Father, as we reflect on this passage and what you are teaching us today, we pray your Holy Spirit will help apply this to whatever area of our lives that you are calling us to address. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, forgive me if I'm sounding today like a bit of a promotion for running in old age. I've enjoyed it. It's been a great inspiration for me. But please, please, I am not preaching the gospel of running, all right? Exercise, along with sunlight that we heard about, is really important. You choose whatever exercise works for you, okay? If it's walking, praise the Lord, it's one of the healthiest and easiest and best ways of keeping fit. But you know, if you're into other forms of exercise, just exercise. So I'm not trying to convert you, but just give an example. And today, I want to reflect on some of the examples of running the race that God has given to us in his word, and to find some Christian applications and parallels to what we're doing, encouraging us to keep enduring and ultimately to look to Jesus, who is the example for all of us. There is a book that somebody shared with me last autumn that I thought, this is a bit intriguing. And it resonated with me. It's a book called Running Out of Time, or The Race Against Time, Adventures in Late Life Running. And the author, Richard Asquith, was a long-time runner, very different from me, who's only been running for the last 7 years or so. And he was horrified by the thought that as he was getting older, and he was in his early 60s when he wrote this book, that all of his personal bests were getting less and less and less. He wasn't able to run or to achieve what he used to be able to achieve when he was younger. And he thought, does that mean that I've got to hang up my running shoes and just join the retirement group and retire from running and do something else instead? And so he decided that he was going to do some research. What were other older people doing out there to keep up their running abilities into old age? Is it possible to run happily and well for the rest of your life into your 70s, 80s, 90s, and even? Is it something that's really possible? And so in the book, he went round interviewing people in different parts of the world. And these people were sharing incredible stories. A lot of them were taking part in what they called masters competitions. I'd never heard of masters competitions before. But we all know about the Olympics. It's coming up in Paris in just a little while. And for those of you, by the way, if I don't mind mentioning, who didn't go to Prom Praise last Saturday night, it was an absolute inspiration, based around the theme of running, and it was incredibly motivating because it's the 100th year since Eric Liddell, the Christian, who chose not to run on his Sabbath because it was against the principles he had, wasn't able to get a gold medal as he was anticipated in getting it in the 100 meters, but went in for the 400 meters, and he got his gold medal. And the film Chariots of Fire, that many of you will have seen, was a reenactment of that story, and it is a story of inspiration. And last Saturday night was a celebration of that. But this book that Richard Asquith wrote told us that there are a number of things you need to do as you get older if you're going to stay successful, keep this body fit, not so that you will live eternally, because we all know we're going to die one day, but so that you can actually enjoy older age rather than getting so many of the illnesses and diseases that are afflicting our society today. One of the things that Richard said was that it's worth joining a club. Up until last autumn, I'd been a solo runner. Have you ever been a solo Christian? You know what that's like? You don't talk to too many other people about your Christian faith. You keep it to yourself. And okay, you can manage. I used to do my local 5Ks, and I would enjoy them. But when it came to running seriously, I was missing out on a lot of information because there were people, and I think I've told you before about the local running club here that meets at Jarman Park, just down the road from us here, that have got a lot of information about how to make running enjoyable, to do better at it. And so I found I really enjoyed joining the local club. When you're tempted to drop out from attending church or from getting support from other Christian friends, yep, you can survive. It's okay. But it's so much better when you've got a whole group of people who are supporting you. This is what I found when I was running this marathon, is that it was the memory of the prayers of so many people that I knew who were sponsoring me, who were rooting for me and cheering, that made it successful. And that is what this church is here for. to root for you, to encourage you, to support you in that Christian journey. And yes, you may get the biggest benefit out of coming together on Sabbath morning, and that's wonderful, but there's benefit in continuing to support each other. And that's part of the reason why we've set up this WhatsApp group this last week. If you're not on it, it's simply called the Hemel Hempstead Updates Group, I think, and Church Updates Group, and it will help to keep you in touch with what's going on. And one of the plans are that we will set up a more spiritual support group as well on there. So we will be keeping in touch and encouraging you in your Christian journey. Coming to church can be a real inspiration when you meet people who've been on this journey before. When I joined the running club, we call it the Decorum Athletics Club, they have quite a few hundred people who belong to the club, but people don't attend all the time on the Tuesday evening when they have the practices. But it wasn't long before I was joining in the runs, and I chatted to this lady called Sarah. And it turned out, slight little woman, she was 73 years old, and she said that, "I've been a busy solicitor all my life, and I only started running when I retired." And so about the same sort of length of time that I've been running. And she said, "You know, I found that I really enjoyed it. And I was actually quite good at it." And she said that just last September, she went to the what's called the Masters Athletics Competition in the UK, where athletes from all around the country that are over the age of 35 come together and race. And would you believe it, in her category, for that's the 70 to 75-year-old category, she got a gold medal in the 1500 meters, she got a gold medal in the 800 meters, and a silver medal in the 400 meters. And you think, wow, you know, this is something. And she does that because she keeps practicing. And I thought, wow, that's such an encouragement. That's an inspiration. And shouldn't it be the same when we come to church? That when we talk to some of our brothers and sisters who might be a few years further down the road in their spiritual walk than we are, that we can learn from them, get their stories. And that's why we try to say, it's important not only to come to church on Sabbath, but let's do some of these other things together, like go for a walk this afternoon. And if you can come for a walk, and I know not everyone's going to be up for it, but if you can, those are the times when we can share our stories together, or at our prayer meetings and Bible studies on a Wednesday evening. And there's different formats that we've got for those, and they are really inspiring because we hear the stories of how other people are running this Christian race. One of the things that we love to do on Sabbath morning in our Sabbath school classes and also in our sermons is to give the biblical examples of faith that we find not only in Scripture, but also that we can find in the history of our church and also in the history of those that we've whose testimonies that we've heard. And that's why it was such a blessing hearing Dot's testimony last week and Angel's testimony today. This is the place where we can share the reality of who God is. He is alive and he's working in our lives. And sometimes the testimonies may not be that dramatic, but the fact is that there is always something that we can do to encourage each other. One of the things that Paul tells us to do is, as runners on the Christian pathway, we need to lay aside every weight that is before us. Now, I have discovered that running is one of those things that you've really got to learn about. You can learn about it the hard way, like I did, and it's just try it, and then you discover that your toes go blue and you get blisters and all the rest of it, and you think, oh dear. And then you can actually go along to people who will tell you there are ways to avoid that you can make running much more pleasurable, a lot less painful. And this is what we need to hear from each other. There are Christians who sometimes carry an incredible amount of pain on their shoulders, unnecessary spiritual pain. And when we share the stories of our own journeys, we discover how giving our burdens to Jesus, the weights that we carry, the psychological and the spiritual hang-ups that we have, when we give them to God, the weight rolls off, just like the story of Pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress, when we come to the cross and we take that horrible baggage and we said, God, deal with it. And it just rolls off. Not because of anything that we have done, but simply because God loves us and Jesus has died for us and he's promised to take that pain and that burden away. As I told you, temptation to get distracted on the Christian road is there all the time. And Paul reminds us that these temptations need to be tackled. In order to be a good runner, to be successful at any area of life, there is a spiritual and a mental discipline that we need to go through. And many of us have got patterns of thinking that are, let's say, self-destructive. Messages that we heard from our childhood that were meant for a context and a place that have been overwhelming us for the rest of our lives. You'll never succeed. You'll never be any good. You're ugly. Whatever it may be. And those messages that were never intended to be life messages have carried on with us. And the devil is just brilliant at reinforcing them at all at the wrong times. And we start to believe the devil's messages. And we can so easily become failures and drop out of the run. Whereas what the Bible tells us is that God is our encourager. And he wants to help us to lay aside all of those negative, hurtful messages and experiences and experience the healing that comes with following his principles. And that's what was great about the children's story today. The miracle of healing didn't simply come because you prayed. You said, what, God, do I need to do now as God is wanting to heal my bunny? And you started listening to the good health messages. And that's what the children were hearing today, all about the blessings of natural food and sunlight and so on. And these are the things that God is telling us to replace those negative messages with the positive things of good air, fresh exercise and healthy food and sunlight and so on. Sometimes you will be saying to yourself, Pastor, I've tried doing all of these things, but it hasn't worked. And it may be that you have tried really, really hard, but it hasn't worked. And it could be that there is something that is still missing. In our community, we tend to be afraid of telling other people about our needs because we like to be big and strong and independent. Whereas sometimes, I believe God says, it is good to confide in somebody you can trust a need for prayer. And it's not for everybody to know, but this is a challenge that I'm having, and I'd like you to pray. And it may be that it's more than prayer, that you can get some extra specialized help in that area. Because what happens is that the sins that so easily beset us keep coming back to haunt us. and by the grace of God, with others' prayers as well and support, we can overcome. I like the way that Paul says that we should be running as Christians. Do you feel that you're running? Or do you feel you're ambling along or dawdling or perhaps even sort of walking backwards sometimes? I do, okay? It's like that when we try to assess ourselves, and I'm glad that God doesn't get out a stopwatch on our spiritual journey and measure how fast we're doing the laps and whether we're going faster and faster and improving. No, he just asks us to do what we were called to do. And there's a passage from Philippians that I'd like to read for you and just allow you to settle it, settle in your mind. Just listen from Philippians chapter 3, verse 3 onwards. But Christ has shown me that what I once thought was valuable is worthless. Nothing is as wonderful as knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I have given up everything else and count it all as rubbish. All I want is Christ, and to know that I belong to him. I could not make myself acceptable to God by obeying the law of Moses, but God accepted me simply because of my faith in Christ. All I want is to know Christ and the power that raised him to life. I want to suffer and die as he did, so that somehow I also may be raised to life. I have not yet reached my goal. I am not perfect, but Christ has taken hold of me so that I keep on running and struggling to take hold of the prize. My friends, I don't feel that I have already arrived, but I forgot what is behind, and I struggle for what is ahead. I run towards the goal so that I can win the prize of being called to heaven. This is the prize that God offers because of what Jesus Christ has done. We are citizens of heaven and are eagerly awaiting for our Savior to come from there. That is what this running is all about. Experiencing the presence and the love of God, the forgiveness in our lives, and joining him in the mission to keep on going. As he says, he, Jesus, has set us an example to endure suffering. And yes, athletes go through pain to achieve goals, but whatever we have gone through is nothing in comparison to what Jesus did on the cross. He voluntarily allowed people to torture him so that we can experience reconciliation with God. And he also goes on to say, despising the shame. Yes, Jesus was shamed on the Via Dolorosa, the road to the cross. He was ridiculed by most people who were around him. And if you are criticized and shamed for being a Christian, you're simply following the way that God has set for us. But there is a final victory. The victory is the one in which Christ wants to give us peace here on earth and a joy that passes all understanding. All of us have a race against time. All of us have only got a limited number of days of this life. All of us know that every day counts. And Jesus said, I am coming soon. No one knows exactly what that soon means, because for any of us, it could be today or tomorrow. As the author of Hebrews says, we are running out of time. But when we have seen Jesus, we discover that he has helped us, and we learn from him what it means to run for him and with him. And we will have the best story to tell of how, not like the marathon, where I can tell you it was a drudgery for a lot of it, but I can tell you, though, that the best part of it was getting to the finish line. And that is the calling that all of you have. And the wonderful thing about the Milton Keynes Marathon is that you start off in a massive crowd of people. Thousands of people are running alongside you. But by the time you get to the end, a lot of them have gone ahead. Wonderful. Some of them only did half the course. They just did half marathons. Great. That was good for them. I love half marathons. But there was a group of people who stayed on in that, it's the Don's Stadium. I don't know if you've ever seen it in Milton Keynes. It's just a massive football stadium. And there were people that were staying on, cheering every single person as they did the lap of honor up to the finish line. Friends, sometimes you feel that you could do with a lap of honor. The angels of heaven are cheering you on. We here are cheering you on. The fact that you are here today or you're here online is that you are part of this community that we are wanting to encourage and that is experiencing the love of Christ. So what we are doing is not worthless. This Christian journey that we're on is not without a purpose, because the journey is about knowing Jesus, for whom we have given up everything else. It's an invitation I'd like to give to you today. Because the bottom line is that we want this abundant life that God has offered to us in Jesus. And what I'd like to invite you to do is, rather than respond to an appeal, is to have a quiet time of reflection as I finish the sermon. And we're going to be asking Penny to share with us a composition that she created a while ago that reminds us that even when we are down, there is a God who loves us. And when we're going through troubles in our lives, God is calling us to go through those with friends, to be supported in the best ways that we can. And maybe music is a way that reminds you of God's love, just like the Proms Praise did last Saturday night. Whatever it is, in this quiet time, listen to what God is asking you to do. Is there a burden that he wants you to lay aside? Is there somebody that he would like you to talk to pray with, to be encouraged by, that this will not be the end of your Christian journey, that your life will be more abundant than ever from this day forward? And so as you listen, pray, ask the Holy Spirit to tell you what he's wanting to reveal to you. And find somebody, perhaps, to share that with. Penny.